Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, November 13th, the year of our Lord, 2022. This is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. It's a joy to welcome you in worship. This time we get to spend together to reflect on God's good word, to enjoy the gift of music, a moment of silence, all in the presence of our good God. So let's do what is our practice here. First and foremost, let's breathe. Let's pay attention to the gift of the breath of life. Turn your face toward the sky. Call to mind those things that bring a smile to your face, those things that you're most grateful for. These gifts of life and love and family, opportunity. And in this thankful posture, let's begin together in worship. Join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your bulletin. You can find the bulletin just over to the right of where you found today's podcast. You click on that notes tab and the bulletin will come up. Let's begin. God of faithful surprises, throughout the ages you have made known your love and power in unexpected ways and places. May we always perceive the joy and wonder of your presence and offer our lives in gratitude for our redemption. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from Isaiah, the 65th chapter, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 years will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Father in heaven, we call out to you and we pray. And we pray that you would be present with us as we lean in and listen to your word. We thank you for the gift of this word alive among us. We draw life from it, encouragement and hope. And so we pray that in this time of reflection, you will be present with us, that you will save us from distraction and misinterpretation. And you will reveal for us the word you have for each and every one of us. We pray this in your holy name and say, Amen. Friends, as we come to the end of our liturgical calendar this year, and look just over the horizon of the next 2 weeks and see into the season of Advent, the readings that we have to reflect on in our lectionary are apocalyptic. The prophetic word that we get is very crudely translated like this. It's going to get worse. It might get a lot worse, but it's going to get better. But before it gets better, it's going to get worse. But to prepare yourself for this whole season of getting worse to getting better, focus your attention on God. So we might say, keep the faith. That's what we're called to do. That's the hope I see here at the very end of the book of Isaiah in the 65th chapter. Isaiah having a total of 66 chapters. We have here this message of hope, of this new thing that is about to happen. If we just very quickly take a thumbnail look at the entirety of Isaiah, we see in the first 12 chapters themes of judgment and hope for Jerusalem. In chapters 13 through 27, we see, again, themes of judgment and hope. And this time as it applies to the nations. But then at the end of this first half of Isaiah, chapters 28 through 39, there is this prophecy concerning the rise and fall of Jerusalem. The events leading up to the Babylonian captivity and all that that means. And then the book takes a shift. Beginning in the 40th chapter, there is this fresh announcement of hope. This is after the Babylonian exile. As these people are beginning to put their life back together, their religious life, their work life, their social lives back together, those who had remained in Jerusalem during the period of captivity and those who are now returning from Babylon to Jerusalem. These are words of encouragement and words of challenge, and that there'll be a pivot point for this hope as Isaiah tells us of the coming of this servant, this suffering servant, this one that we come to know as Jesus. And finally, at the last 10 chapters of the book, it's the inheritance that is talked about, that the servants of this suffering servant, that if they offer prayers of repentance, if they offer their kindness and their commitment to God and to one another, that all nations are invited to join God's covenant family. It's in this last section that our reading comes from today, that God is saying that through the prophet, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. And then in the next verse, he says again, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. All of the history of this great and often violent and horrible city of Jerusalem, the place where the prophets go to die. This is the tension, and this is where all of the action is centered, is in this place, this Jerusalem. And I did a little teeny word study on Jerusalem. Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. That it's perhaps a compound of two words. Yaru, or Yeru, which can be translated as they will see, or they will feel awe, and Salem, or Shalem, like Shalom, the Jewish word for peace, which can also mean wholeness and completeness. So to think of it that way, that they will see wholeness, they will see completeness. And where does this wholeness or completeness come? It comes from the movement of God, and it most entirely and certainly comes for us as Christians through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Isaiah lets them know, I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I'm about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cries of distress. There has been more than enough weeping. There has been more than enough distress. God is promising God's intervention. God is naming that the way things are not the way they were designed or meant to be. It has been the inability of the human beings to follow in the ways of God that has brought about the suffering and the difficulty and the weeping and the wailing. Has brought about the malnutrition. It has brought about a decrease in the longevity of the human race, as he says in verse 20, no more shall there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. And he illustrates this by saying, for one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 years will be considered accursed. And he gets then to the laborers, and think of again whom this prophecy is most directed toward. what we might just call them the working class, the skilled and unskilled laborers who spend most of their lives doing work that barely fills their stomachs or their wallets, that they plant crops so that others will be fed. They build houses and other buildings for other people to occupy. That by the sweat of their brow and the back-breaking labor, others are lifted up. But they never get a taste. They often just get barely enough to squeak by. This prophecy is for them. And here in this prophecy, take everything you have experienced or know about the teachings of our Lord Jesus. Think about the places where he did his preaching and his teaching and his healing. Almost always when he comes to town, he's preaching to the people who are harvesting the crops, building the buildings, keeping house, washing feet, acting as nursemaids, this serving class. He comes and preaches good news. And Isaiah is saying, wait for it, look for it. Is all this other stuff going to be suspended and go away right now? Nope. I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth. I'm about to create Jerusalem as a joy. There's always something in this prophetic word, and always something in the prophetic and pastoral ministry of Jesus. Is now and not quite yet. This coming apocalypse, where everything gets resorted, sorted out, and reordered. This message of an end time, which Isaiah says that the end time is that this has got to stop, and it will stop. There will be a day when injustice stops. And those who refuse to, or for some reason have given themselves over to greed, envy, sloth, malice, they're so given over to it that they'll just be cast out and unwelcome into the new thing. It will be almost intolerable for them to live there because there's no graft, there's no game. It's coming. And he promises it, and he gives us a foretaste from the time that the first audience of Isaiah and the disciples of Isaiah were preaching this good word to the moment. And remember, there is a 700-year gap between Isaiah's lifetime and Jesus' lifetime. And then for us, right, another 2,000 years. And we can lean in and listen and catch a glimpse of this thing that God is about to do. And once in a while, it fills us up and lights us up. And some injustice, the latest crook, the latest arrogant, no good so-and-so, does something to jar us. But Isaiah reminds us, I keep my promises, says the Lord. Here's what's coming. And in the midst of your laboring, in the midst of not being able to see through the corruption and the injustice, look a little deeper, look a little further. Let me tell you about what's coming. They shall build houses and inhabit them. You who labor all day building houses for somebody else, you'll build houses and it'll be your house. And the crew that you show up with and frame out and build a house, all the tradesmen and women that you work with, you'll all work together. And first you'll build Joe's house, and then you'll build Martha's house, and you'll build this neighborhood, and each and every one of you would have had a part in building each and every other one's home. A part of you will be in their home, and a part of them will be in your home. And it will be true not only of the structure of your home, but the food on your table. It'll be true about who's watching over the kids as they play in the yard. They shall build houses and get to live in them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And dare I say, drink the wine. And they shall not build. And they shall not build and another inhabit. That is right. They'll build. They'll inhabit what they build. And they'll no longer have to break their backs laboring to feed others without ever being fed themselves. And the time that was when babies died of malnutrition, that time is over. That time when people worked themselves to death in the field, that's over. Because this community that builds for one another, this community that feeds one another, this community that loves one another, will come alongside you and say, Denise, it's time to retire. And don't worry, we'll take care of you. Because, you see, we're being fruitful and multiplying over here. So the next generation has our best interests in mind, and we have their best interests in mind. You see, the simple, beautiful, mutually giving, loving community. And if any of that vision resonates in your heart, it's because that's the part that God placed deep inside every one of us. They shall not labor in vain, which for me is labor as in childbirth. As it says in verse 23, they shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. That is, you won't have children just to give them up to a cruel world. But I think it also speaks to these other labors that we're talking about, the work of our hands, the work of our minds. And what is the driving, motivating, inspiring force, truth? God. Before they call, I will answer. I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. And it will be so beautiful, and the provision so great. Verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. And I take that to mean the ones that just can't, they're so entrenched in the graft. They're so entrenched of in the world of taking that a community in which people give will be completely unlivable for them, and their food shall be dust. But they will not be allowed to hurt this beloved community. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Yeah, the prophecies are hard because, as Isaiah tells us time and again throughout the work, injustice will not stand. Injustice, in many ways, has its own judgment. Things built on a lie eventually fall apart. Things built on love and mutual blessing, they endure forever and they flourish. So as we enter this season, as we transition from the end of this year and we look forward to the celebration of our national Thanksgiving, Christ the King Sunday, these things that are coming up, and then the season of Advent, this season of hope-filled anticipation that the heartache of the moment is passing and the joy of the Lord endures forever. That's good news, to which I say, Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know you are about to do a new thing. You are creating new heavens and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a new place of wholeness and peace. Help us to take residency in this new place, in this new house. And help us to live lives worthy of this imagined and present future of hope and peace and love and joy. That none of our labor, none of it will be in vain. We pray, O God, for this, your good world. We pray for its leaders, the folks in positions of power who make big decisions. Come down on them, O God, with your grace and your truth and your wisdom. Convict them of what is good and right and true and pure and worthy and lovely. And help them to respond according to your will. And for those of us who are not named names, for the unnamed faithful, O God, we pray that you just come alongside us and remind us of the promises and the hope of the prophets, the promises and the hope and the healing of our Lord Jesus. And we ask that you would just take a moment, God, to come alongside us and consider the prayers of our hearts, the list that we keep written down in our spirit or even on a piece of paper, the joys and the concerns of our everyday living. Come, Holy Spirit, abide with us as we share our hearts with you. We break our silence. And we give you thanks, O God, for the gift of peace and quiet. We thank you for the gifts of the ancient prophecies. And we give you thanks for the saints among us in this gift, a prayer that you taught your first disciples that we've inherited. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we move on from this time together, let us be filled with hope. Hope that God is indeed creating something new in all of our lives. that the most difficult parts of our circumstances are passing, that there is a new earth, a new way of being, a new, whole, and peaceful Jerusalem given to us as a gift from God. This God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is doing something new in our lives and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.